June is busting out all over, but not with flowers. It's an emerald world we walk through these days. Most of the early woodland flowers and flowering trees are gone by. Instead, the woods, the bordering meadows, and the salt marshes glow with new green growth. It is as if God said, "Let there be green. Let's see what I can do with that color." I wish I had a painter's vocabulary to describe the scope and variation of this one hue at this time of the year. But the green part of the spectrum beggars my poor store of words. I can say verdant, lime, emerald, jade, viridian, and a few others. But my Roget's thesaurus lists over 80 different kinds of green, more than any other color. One year, during the first week of June, gazing at the hillsides of Great Island, I counted 26 distinct different shades of green, and this in a place known for its poor soil. Many people mark different blossoms as heralding the arrival of spring. Snowdrops and crocuses, mayflowers, daffodils, shad, lilacs, etc. But once this showier parade passes by, June marches in as the real climax of spring. I see fields of bearberry and crowberry, bleached and gray all winter, now glowing in iridescent emerald. Salt marshes, slowly growing all May, like a low green tide, are now flooded with the light green of salt hay and the dark green spears of cattails and phragmites. Blueberry bushes capture the sunlight in their new, translucent yellow-green leaves, and the oaks, biding their time as other trees leaf out, now shed their dangling catkins and unfold their leaves fully, like millions of green butterflies. Even the locusts, always the last of trees to leaf out, have finally unfurled their fern-like leaflets, like a boy who has watched all of his pals take their first jump of the season into a lake and finally says, "All right, watch out, here I come." This is the time not only to see green, but to feel green. Under the open pine woods, tufts of tall, thin, forest-green grass raise their seed heads just high enough to tickle my palms as I hold them out, brushing across them. The black oak leaves are fully out now, but reach out and gently caress one. It's tender, smooth, pliant, and untattered, more like green silk than the tough, leathery leaf it will become by midsummer. Only the pitch pines seem not to change their hue or their foliage, wearing their somber, dark coat of needles against the riot of new green going on all around them. They seem conservative, sober, skeptical, restrained, almost curmudgeonly. But that's deceptive. While the pines themselves seem untransformed, the air in early June is filled with their pollen, ubiquitous bursts of seed dust, as if the pines were winter rugs now hung out and beaten by the wind. They work the real magic, turning things that are not green, green. The clouds of pine pollen give a fine coating of yellow-green to last year's brown oak leaves and pine needles on the woodland paths, to silver spider webs on the ground, to the shores of our blue ponds, even to the tide pools on the beach. They coat our decks, skylights, bedsheets hanging on the clothesline, cars, and even our floors and tables indoors with fine green dust. We feel it in the slight, fine, granular grating when we rub our fingers together, so that in this first week of June, we too become a little greener.